Rachel stood next to him.
What does it mean, Chase? Why didn't Kalin go with him?
He looked down at her. His face had an odd, still look that made her stomach knot up. She went for help. She went to Adendrill to get Zed. No one made a sound. He stared back out to the east as he hooked a thumb behind his big silver belt buckle. Dear spirits, he whispered to himself. If Richard really did go into the wilds, turn him north. Don't let him go to the south, or even Zed won't be able to help him. Rachel hugged her doll tight.
What's the wilds?
A very bad place, little one. He stared out unblinking toward the darkening sky. Very bad place. The way he said it, all calm and quiet, gave her goosebumps. Zed could feel the muscles in the horse's back flexing under him as he ducked beneath a branch while slowing the animal. Zed favored riding bareback. If he needed to ride a horse, he preferred to let the animal feel as unencumbered as possible. He thought it only fair. Most seemed to appreciate his consideration, this one especially. She gave him more than she ever would have under a saddle, and he had taken everything she had given. He had proffered his saddle and the rest of the tack to a man named Half. Half had the biggest ears Zed had ever seen. How a man with ears the like of those had ever found a wife was a wonder. But have a wife he did, and four children too, and he looked to have more need of the tack than Zed. Not to ride, of course, but to sell. His crops and stores had been carried off by soldiers of the Daharan army. It was the least Zed could do. After all, Rachel was soaked to the bone, and Half offered them a dry place to sleep, even if it was in a dilapidated little barn, and his wife offered them a cabbage soup, thin as it was, asking nothing in return. It was worth a saddle, just to see the look on Chase's face when Zed said he wasn't hungry. The big man ate enough for three men, though, and he should have known better. There was going to be much hunger this winter. The tack wouldn't bring its worth, not with hunger spreading like a dark wind before a thunderhead, but it would bring something, maybe enough to take the hardest edge off the winter. Zed saw Chase put a coin in each of the four children's pockets when he thought no one was looking, growling at them in a tone that would make a grown man blanch, but which, for some odd reason, made children only smile, not to look in the pocket until he was gone. He hoped it wasn't gold. The boundary warden could smell a thief open a window in the next town and probably tell you his name, too, but he had no wits about him around children. Half suspiciously wanted to know what he was to do in return for the tack. Zed told him he was to swear his undying loyalty to the Mother Confessor and the new Lord Rawl of Dahara, both of whom had put a stop to things the like of which had been done to him. The man had stared at him, his big ears sticking out under that ridiculous knit hat with a tassel on each side that only served to draw attention where it wasn't needed, and had said, "Done," with a firm nod. A small start, one loyal for the price of a saddle. Ah, that it would all be so easy. But that was weeks ago. Now he was alone. The sweet smell of a birch fire drifted to him through the thick woods, the horse lifting her nose to it as she stepped carefully along the narrow path. In the still air, gathering darkness sent deepening shadows across the way. Even before the small house came into view, he could hear the racket, the sound of furniture being overturned, the crash of pots and pans, and demons being cursed. The horse's ears pricked toward the commotion as they rode down the twisting trail. Zed gave her a reassuring pat on the neck. The little house, wood walls dark with age, and a roof thickly layered with ferns and dry pine needles, was set back into the towering trees, nestled among rough trunks dark in the day's end. He dismounted to the side of the brown, dead ferns spreading like a garden in front of the house. The horse rolled her eyes toward him as he came around to give her a scratch under her jaw.
Be a good girl and find yourself something to eat.
He put a finger under the horse's chin, forcing her head up.
But stay close.
The horse nickered. With a smile, Zed rubbed her gray nose.
Good girl.
From inside the house came a low growl, interspersed with angry click. Something heavy thudded to the floor, accompanied by a thick oath in a foreign tongue.
Come out from under there, you vile beast!
Zed grinned at the sound of the familiar, raspy voice. He watched the horse stroll off a ways to graze on tufts of dry grass, lifting her head while she chewed to look back toward the house at each sharp thump. Zed sauntered up the curving walk toward the house. He paused, turning full around twice to admire the beauty of the surrounding woods. They truly were a wonder, calm and peaceful, in a place that had been a pass through one of the most dangerous spots in the world, the boundary. But the boundary was gone now. Yet the woods were a serene refuge, imbued with an almost palpable tranquility that Zed knew wasn't natural. They had been infused with those qualities at the skilled hands of the woman who at that very moment was throwing curses bold enough to make a battle-hardened Sandarian lancer blush. And he had seen one of those curse his own queen into a dead faint. That, of course, had only earned the man the rope. The fellow had had a few things to say to the hangman, too, which in turn didn't bring him a clean drop, but did offer him the opportunity to get off one last eloquent, if vulgar, oath. The other lancers seemed to think the trade worth the price. For her part, the queen never seemed to fully recover her delicate air, and thereafter always flushed a fabulous red at the mere sight of one of her lancers, needing to be fanned furiously by her attendants in order to remain conscious. She would probably have had them all hanged had they not saved her throne, to say nothing of her dainty neck, on more than one occasion. But that was a long time ago, in another war. Clasping his hands together behind himself, Zed inhaled deeply, relishing the clean, crisp air. Bending over, he plucked a dry, wilted wild rose, and with a wisp of magic brought it to fresh bloom. The yellow petals spread and swelled with new vitality. Closing his eyes, he took a deep whiff of the flower and then idly stuck it in his robes over his breast. He was in no hurry. It was not wise to interrupt a sorceress in a snit. Through the open door came a more serious curse as the object of the sorceress's ire was at last brought to account. With a whack from the blunt end of an axe, the thing was sent flying through the doorway. The small, armored beast landed on its back at Zed's feet. Wobbling, it clicked and growled as it raked the air with its claws, trying to right itself. It appeared no worse for the axe, or for its brief flight and rough landing. Filthy gripper. It was a gripper that had attached itself to Addie's ankle before. Once a gripper had you, there was virtually no way to get it off. It held on with those claws and rasped its teeth into you down to bone, sucking your blood with its puckered, fang-ringed mouth. They never let go as long as there was blood to feed on, and that armor shed any counterattack. Addie had used an axe to chop off her foot where the gripper had been attached, chopped off her own foot to save her life. Thinking about it turned his stomach. He watched the beast at his feet for a moment, then gave it a casual kick, sending it a goodly distance. Landing right side up, it waddled off into the woods in search of easier prey. Zed looked up at the figure standing in the doorway, scowling at him with her completely white eyes, her breast still heaving. She wore robes the same light burlap color as his, but unlike his, hers were decorated at the neck with yellow and red beads sewn in the ancient symbols of her profession. She put her fists on her hips. The scowl held a firm grip on her features, not that it diminished in the least how handsome they were. She still held the axe in one hand, though, a worrisome sign. Best not to trouble her too quickly with what he wanted. Zed smiled.
You really shouldn't play with grippers, Addie. That's how you lost your foot the last time, you know.
He plucked the yellow rose from its place at his chest. His thin lips pushed his wrinkled cheeks back farther as his smile widened.
Got anything to eat? I'm starving.
She watched him silently for a moment without moving, then slipped the axe head to the floor and leaned the handle against the wall just inside the door.
What do you be doing here, wizard?
Zed stepped onto the tiny porch and gave a dramatic bow. When he came up, he offered her the flower as if it were a priceless jewel.
I just couldn't stay away from your tender embrace, dear lady.
He flashed his most irresistible smile. Addie studied him a moment with those white eyes.
That be a lie.
Zed cleared his throat and pressed the flower closer. He thought maybe he needed to practice his smile.
Is that stew I smell?
Without taking her gaze from him, she accepted the flower, sticking it in her straight, jaw-length black and gray hair. She truly was handsome.
It be stew.
Her soft, thin hands took his. A small smile stole onto her finely wrinkled face, and she gave a slight nod.
It be good to see you again, Zed. For a time I feared I never would. I spent many a night in a sweat, knowing what would happen had you failed. When winter came and the magic of Orden didn't sweep the land, I knew you had succeeded.
Zed was encouraged that his best smile hadn't been wasted after all, but he was careful with his answer.
Darkenrohl has been defeated.
What of Richard and Kaelin? Do they be safe?
Zed puffed up with pride.
Yes, in fact, Richard was the one who defeated Darkenrohl.
She nodded again.
I think there be more to the story.
He shrugged, trying to make it seem less important than it was.
A bit of a tale.
Though the small smile still rested easily on her face, her white eyes seemed to be weighing his soul.
And there be a reason you be here, a reason I fear I won't like.
He pulled his hands out of hers and pushed some of his unruly, wavy white hair back while frowning.
Bags, woman! Are you going to feed me any of that stew or not?
Addie finally withdrew her white eyes from him and turned back into her home.
I think there be enough stew, even for you. Come in and shut the door. I do not wish to see another gripper tonight.
Invited in? Well, things were going smoothly. He wondered how much he was going to have to tell her. Not all, he hoped. Wizards work, using people. The worst of it was using people he liked, especially people he liked deeply. As Zed helped her right the chairs and table and pick up the pots and tin plates strewn about the floor, he began telling her of the things that had happened since he had been with her last.